Two gospel readings today, a little unusual, but the story needs to be told. From Luke chapter 1, beginning with the 46th verse, this is Mary. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit greatly rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with care upon the humble state of his maidservant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done a great thing for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is from generation to generation to the ones who fear him. He has displayed power with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down rulers from thrones and exalted humble ones. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering his mercy just as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Well, it's that time of year when, like it or don't like it, you're going to be dealing with family. For the most part, it's going to be good. But then there's always that one uncle or cousin that shows up. Or aunt and cousin. It's a family thing, our scriptures speak to. Relatives. We have the nuclear family. That's usually the family of the husband and wife and the children, or the immediate family that live under the roof together. And then you have the extended family that come from other states. You put the nuclear and the extended together and you may have an explosion. Or it could be just simply warmth. A nuclear reactor will give you warmth in a variety of ways. Hopefully it's not explosive. The family is something that we ordinarily do not choose. They came via the DNA. They came along the bloodline. And even in adoption, that's legal, it's binding, and these are ties that bind, whether it's blood or whether it's some legal arrangement that makes you family. If you go to Ancestry.com, and I know some of you have, how far back did you go, and did you get so far back that you said, I'm not going any further. I don't want to know any more about this family. I know enough as it is. How much do you want to know? There's a commercial on TV about it. It's Ancestry.com, and the guy thought he was German, and he talks about wearing lederhosen. That's the stockings, I think, that come up to your knees or whatever, and you look very Swiss or German. Then he did Ancestry.com, and he found out he was Scots. He was part of the Scotch line, Scots-Irish, whatever, so he traded in his lederhosen for a kilt. I do not want to go back and find myself in a kilt, and you don't want to see it either. I haven't got into Ancestry.com. I can have the various family members that show up from time to time. We always have the same family stories. Isn't that the case? Usually the same interesting story or exciting story or funny story will come up when the family get together. You rarely bring up the painful moments. They will find their way in their own way anyway. And so family, we see them often, and some we see all too often. That's, once again, the nuclear family and maybe the other extended family that's still living around here. So what do you do with it? Well, what did the Bible do with it? And that's where we get to Mary and John the Baptist. There's not a lot of time that they spend together. If you think of the chronological sequence here, Mary, we think, is probably a cousin. She's probably a cousin to John the Baptist's mother, Elizabeth. So if I got that right, John is a second cousin. And so John is born of Elizabeth, and within a few months, Jesus is born of Mary. And we don't hear a whole lot about anybody's childhood. Not a whole lot. But all of a sudden, it comes together at the River Jordan. And everything begins to happen. Jesus and his cousin John the Baptist. And they exchange greetings, they exchange, in a way, blessings, and John rightly notes his place in the order of things. He came to prepare a way for his cousin. I had an Aunt Mary, of which I knew very little about her on my mother's side, and I have a brother, John. It's usually if you go far enough into the family, the more common names certainly are going to appear. Mary or John or Bill or Jim, Susan, so forth and so on. But I never really knew much about Aunt Mary. In fact, I got her confused with Aunt Anne. And this was on mother's side, of which I don't know as much. There's all sorts of reasons for that. And my brother John, well, he's a half-brother. So I really didn't grow up with him. I only got to know him as an adult. And I think that is the case with John the Baptizer at the River Jordan greeting his cousin Jesus. They're going to get to know each other over a very short period of time, much better than they did as children, if they ever played with each other. We just don't know. We just don't know. But they are family. So I didn't grow up with my half-brother John. I grew up with the extended family, with his children and the other brothers and sisters' children. So I grew up with nephews and nieces. I played with them. And we are the ones that share the funny stories, the interesting memories, the experiences of childhood. Me, their uncle, with my nephews and nieces. If I gave you 20 minutes up here, you could go on as interesting as it sounds to me. You could go on about your family, where they're from, who's in it, who left it, and where they're going to wind up. You could go on. This is the thing about family. We didn't ask for it, but we were given the family. So their memories, their interests, their affection, and it goes on and on. You could go on, no doubt, and it would get complex and complicated. Are you Scots-Irish? Some of you have German in you, French, Italian, Northern. I started to say Yankees. Or are you more Southern? It can be a mess, but invariably God intends family to be a blessing. It can be a mess, but God intends family to be a blessing. And this, when we read the scriptures, we're not too far removed from kinfolk in the faith. People that are in the Bible are our kinfolk in the faith. Just as Mary was related to Elizabeth, we are related to Elizabeth and Mary. Just as Jesus and John the Baptist are related, we are related to John the Baptist and ultimately to Jesus. Ultimately, Mary, Elizabeth, and John and us are grouped together through God in Christ. And now, we simply say, brother or sister, look at each other. Look around. Who would have thought that you all would be brothers and sisters in the faith? It's, once again, complicated when we try to learn from the family's history book, which is the Bible. And so there's a cast of thousands that you can learn. And actually, it's easier to learn from the stories than it is just to learn from the doctrines of the atonement, or of salvation, or of redemption, and so forth, sanctification, justification. All those are kind of high-sounding terms, but you put them into people and how they live it out. Oh, so that's what it means to be saved. Oh, that's what Mary was getting at. That's what John the Baptist was saying. They're pointing to Jesus. And what does Jesus say? And the story goes on and on and on. And we have our ancestry.com too, don't we? It's called the History of the Church. We just didn't spring up a generation or two ago here at Kedron. We go back and way back, and we are connected there far and wide, east and west, north and south. So if you go to a church, most anywhere, it will have a lot of similarities. If you go to United Methodist Church, it will have a very large amount of similarities. But most churches are going to be centered in Jesus and in the faith. And if you went back 100 years here on Rocky Fork, the church was alive and well then. And so we have a history and we have a present experience of our family here and now. And we see, we go back and we look at Mother Mary. She started off as a engaged, betrothed. The next thing you know, she's kind of scandalized. It's not clear what's going on, but she's pregnant. She's off to Bethlehem with her betrothed Joseph. They have a child. A lot of people seem to be excited about it, but some aren't excited about it. They have to flee to Egypt. They have to immigrate to another country. Then they come back and settle in Nazareth. Jesus grows up, starts his ministry, and spends more time in Capernaum. And then he shows up at a wedding where? In Cana of Galilee. And his mother is so pleased with him. Jesus, they're running out of wine over here. Jesus must have sighed and said, it's not time yet for me to show my power. And she turns to the servants and says, do what he tells you. She knew that Jesus would not let the party go without the wine. The wedding party needed to have the beverages. And sure enough, Jesus works his miracle with water into wine. So here we have the mother and son, the mother encountering Jesus as an adult. And Mary's story continues and through the Gospels in places, mainly Matthew and Luke, and then she shows up in Acts, and then we never hear from her again. Now the church continues in various ways to honor Mary. Blessed art thou. Blessed is the womb of Mary. And certainly we do honor Mary in so many ways, but in so many ways she's simply one of us who had the special honor and privilege of bearing Jesus. The angel appears to her and makes it very special, and she responds with this Magnificat in which she says what God is about and what God has done in the past with Abraham, all the prophets, and now is doing even with her. And it's interesting that she says he has displayed power with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down rulers from thrones and exalted humble ones. He has sent away the rich, empty-handed, but filled the hungry with good things. Is she a prophet or what? She is simply bearing the child, Jesus, the Messiah, but yet she sounds like a prophet. For what God is up to is to reverse some of the fortunes that have fallen upon some. Those that are rich did not become responsible in the way they treated others, and the poor found themselves poor not because of their own, but simply the way the world was shaped. Mary has announced what God is about and what God will do in Jesus. John, also a family member, he goes about proclaiming, not himself, although he drew attention to himself with his camel hair outfit, his rather odd dietary habits, and the fact that he goes to the River Jordan and says, come out here and repent and be baptized. So he did draw attention to himself. He had his disciples. And here come the Sadducees and Pharisees, the very religious people from Jerusalem. And John says, no, you're not here with sincere hearts. You're not really out here. You're just to be part of the show and tell that's going on. So he's not very kind to his religious brothers and sisters back in Jerusalem. He has a word for them. And when Jesus shows up, though, he says, I'm not worthy to tie his sandals. You should be baptizing me. Jesus says, no, let's do this the right way. You baptize me, and let's get on about the business of what God is up to. And if Mary ever told Jesus what she said, when an angel appeared to her, and she came forth here in Luke chapter 1, Jesus must have pondered these things in his heart as much as Mary pondered those things that the angel said in her heart. It all comes together. It's a family thing. Do you see the connections? And I want to ask you today, who can you identify with in this story? Are you more inclined to see yourself as Mary, to identify with her as a mother, or a person that had a rough start with a child, or as a widow? For Joseph disappears. We simply do not see Joseph in the adult life of Jesus. Do you identify with Mary because God has revealed himself to her and called her and given her an expectancy of great things. Do you expect great things before you finish your earthly life? You should expect something great. I don't think it'll be, you know, Wheel of Fortune kind of great, but you should expect something great still in your life to come from God. Do you identify more closely with John? John was very close to Jesus in age. Do you identify with someone who's close to you in age? Was John a booster for you? Are you a booster for someone, just as John was a booster, a promoter, an advocate for Jesus? Have you been an advocate for somebody? Have you encouraged them? Have you been a helper? Have you said to them, you're special? And then that could have been a son or a daughter or a nephew or a niece. It could be someone in the family that's struggling. And you said, no, you're special. And you didn't have to say it in so many words. You can do it with a hug, just a smile, a being there for them. So do you identify with John? Most of us are humble enough to say, I'm not Jesus. I am not Jesus. But Jesus is within us. Christ, the light of the world, is within us. And do you also at times feel like both Mary and Joseph, you would like to shed the light of Jesus in the world in such a way the dark places would have light shed upon them? For those that are hungry and thirsting for righteousness, those that have been made poor, would you be out there protesting against certain authorities and a certain misuse of the powers that have been given? Have you found a voice to say, that's not right? That's not right. Sometimes that's very hard to do, and sometimes you have to do it within your family. You just have to say, that's just not right. And sometimes, if you're like me, you have to say it to yourself. Barry, that's just not right. Most of us don't have the sins of commission. It is the sins of omission. We know what we should do, but we don't do it. So both Mary and John help us to point to what God is doing in the lives of individuals and the world. If Jesus is the light of the world and lives within us, then we have some responsibility and discipleship to reflect that light into the world. Once again, whether at home, whether at work, in the community, in the nation, we find our way to point just as Mary and John pointed to Jesus. It's interesting that John is executed by whom? By the state, by King Herod. Who executed Jesus? The Roman authorities. And yet they neither one say too much about it. They simply say this is part of God's unfolding plan. Jesus goes to the cross willingly when he could have called down 10,000 angels and protested, but he didn't. He said this is part of what is necessary for God to be revealed in the world is on the cross. And John the Baptist in prison did not know what he was facing, but all of a sudden he was executed. All these biblical relatives that we have, they raise their voices both to us as individuals and to other individuals and to the broader public life. You know that John the Baptist, needless to say, probably bore witness to Jesus while he was in prison. And Jesus bore witness to so many people that what God was doing, even on the cross, was what God was doing. Although this didn't look like it at the time, that's where Easter comes in later. These are examples of how to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. The afflicted are those that are hungry and thirsty, and those for righteousness, those who are poor, those who have had a down-and-out life. You've always said, how do I help somebody in the family that's having a rough stretch of time? They're down and out. They're going through this or that. How do I help them? That's a biblical encouragement for you to say, how can I help my family member who's going through this? Or for that matter, anyone. And the broader public life. How can I give voice so that just as Mary gave voice to calling out those that were rich and powerful but were not living up to their responsibilities? It's not an easy task, and we don't always find our way of how to do it. And each nation goes about it in different ways, but still, it's in our scriptures. It's in our family DNA to speak not only to individuals, but to the public. So, we also find a voice that reaches out in some way, as I said, not just to our family, but to the common good. Jesus as our personal Savior, yes, but also the light of the world, a light unto the nations. So it is personal. It's very personal. So when you pray to Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. But when you bear witness to Jesus in the world. Jesus working always to bring to pass what the prophet Isaiah has predicted and what all the prophets pointed to was God doing something great in the world, both today and forever. So it's you and I and Mary and John the Baptist. As family, we can do this. Go forth and be the family of God wherever you are this week. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for John the Baptist. Thank you for Mary, the mother of Jesus. Thank you for the extended family. And thank you for the ones that have been given to us. Blood family and friends like family, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen.